Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game, 1 o'clock hour. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick sticking around a little while longer. Derek Mason here with you. Nick Kieser, intern Connor behind the glass. We say hello to Mitch Light of The Athletic. Mitch, how are you?
I'm good. I got a question, Chase. Not to, you know, tell you guys how to do your job there. Like, what's the cutoff for notoriety? I understand why you introduced Derek Mason as former NFL wide receiver. But does Willie Donickett, former minor league baseball player, former two-sport SEC athlete? I mean, come on, Willie.
We've discussed this. I don't know what mine was.
Not very long, I guess.
No, we have. This has come up. This is not the first time. So I think we're going to have to redo the open because Derek would like his other accolades to be mentioned. That he's
my spelling bee. I won a spelling bee. Well, I came in second in spelling bee in the fifth grade. I want that to be mentioned.
That he's a record holder at Mumford High School.
Exactly.
You All-American?
Chase, what do you got? Like, Chase, what can we do for you? Like, tight end and, you know, left tackle?
Hey, I was the MVP, actually, my senior year as the manager. So I was the, the most valuable person.
There you go. I want to feel, when I come on your show, I want to feel like I'm going on with big-time people, not just one former NFL player.
I'm the mayor.
Athlete, a minor league baseball player, a manager.
I'm the mayor of the friend zone. So, you know, there's that.
Are there term limits for that, or is that indefinite?
Apparently not. I keep thinking there might be, but apparently not.
There's no limit. There's no limit, Mitch.
Just when I think I've escaped.
It's infinity.
Throw him right back in.
Okay, I didn't mean to hijack the segment. My buddy Willie's done some good things. Athletic career, so I just want some support for Willie.
You're talking to Willie. He's in the Czech Republic right now, so it's pretty cool.
I know. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I'm jealous. Sounds like a great trip.
I'm writing the script. Mitch, I'm writing the script for the new promo right now as we speak. I'm not writing it in Czech, but I'm working on it. So when I get home, we're going to have this all ready for your next segment.
Okay, maybe like gave up what, 8 earned runs in Vanderbilt's like 25-22 loss to Michigan State in baseball in
93. We lost 21-17. We lost 21-17 to Michigan State, and I was the starting pitcher. I think when I left the game, we were down 10-1.
didn't have your A game that day, the good stuff?
No, I didn't. I did not have my A game. It was the same day that Vanderbilt basketball beat Illinois to advance to the Sweet 16. Oh. So it was a good day for Vanderbilt athletics on the hardwood. It was not a good day at the baseball yard.
Well, that's sort of like a Friday news dump in the world. Like, just that's a good one.
Yeah.
99.9% of the Vanderbilt fans were focused on another game. So,
okay, correct. So Mitch, let's get into what I think is going to happen here in college football.
Oh,
but
okay.
But I'm gonna ask you this question first. Next season, who will be the head coach at Texas A&M?
Oh, Jimbo Fisher.
I disagree. I think they're going to buy him out.
Stunned. No, stunned. I don't.
It's not working.
How large is the buyout? Do you know, Mitch?
It's there's no buyout. It's just it's guaranteed. So whatever's left on it, $80 million. I think it was whatever. It's in the 70, 80, 90 million range. Here's what I think would happen first. He will be asked, forced, whatever, to hire an offensive coordinator. And he will revamp his offense. And if that doesn't work after a year or two, then I think you are getting into that range. Because, I understand where you're coming from, Chase, and I'm not making excuses for him. They're worse than they should be. They're inexplicably bad on offense. But with all the notoriety they've gotten from recruiting and stuff, like this great class, especially all those defensive players, they're true freshmen. And the five-star quarterback, Connor Wegman, was a true freshman this year. I think next year was always going to be the year for that potential breakthrough. But I really do think he needs to hire an offensive coordinator. And, people have documented this, written stories about it, and his quarterback evaluation has been poor, basically since Jameis Winston. Yeah, sometimes the guys are highly recruited, sometimes they're not highly recruited, but you don't need a highly recruited quarterback to be effective in college football. You just need a good quarterback who runs your system well and, whether system's antiquated or just not got the right quarterback. But I would be shocked if he's not the coach there next year.
Vanderbilt's got to play Ole Miss this week, and you look at Ole Miss right now, the Lane train is running full throttle at 5-0. They beat Kentucky, a close game. Kentucky kind of shot themselves in the foot, but Lane has that as a top 10 program once again. One, do you think Ole Miss is for real? And two, how can Lane parlay this into something, even though, you know, they kept him last year after it looked like he could be leaving and going to another job?
Yeah, they deserve their ranking. And kind of before the season, and we said it in the first few weeks, it looked like there were three elite teams, and then maybe we want to throw Clemson into that mix now. But I think in that 5 to 10 to 12 range, you have to rank teams at certain spots based on their performance. So I'd say Ole Miss deserves its ranking. Are they what we think of with a top 10 team? I don't know. You know, they weren't really tested until Saturday and played well, but Kentucky, from a Kentucky standpoint, you could look at that and say, man, they blew it. You know, Will Levis just did not protect the ball in key moments there. Very entertaining game, and it's just one of those examples of the fine line between winning and losing one play. So, you know, does Lane Kiffin want to go to a place where he can win a national championship? I think he probably does. You know, Ole Miss fans might disagree, but I don't think that would happen at Ole Miss. I think he can have a consistent top 10, top 15 program there. He has said all the right things about Ole Miss, and I just, from the outside looking in, it seems like he is much more mature, much more hireable from a quote-unquote big-time national championship contending job. So, you know, does he look at Auburn as a place like that? I think Auburn, you can win a national championship because they have won a national championship. They played for a national championship, you know, as recently as 2013. So, you know, where he goes from here, I don't know, but he has done a much better job than I thought he would do at Ole Miss. That's for sure.
Yeah, I feel like every day I have to Google Brian Harsin to see if he's still the head coach at Auburn, but I think so far he still is. Before I turn this over to Derek, was the Missouri scare for Georgia just that, a scare, maybe an off week, or are they showing some weaknesses?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to find out. I know that's a boring answer, but, you know, it was Seth Emerson, our Georgia writer at The Athletic, wrote about it this morning. Maybe it was too much too soon or too good too soon for Georgia, and they just thought it was going to be as easy all season. The reason I say I'm not sure is because there's nothing fluky about that game. Like, sure, both teams had to settle for field goals, so maybe one team could have asserted itself more. But, like, I was only kind of sort of half-watching because I was doing some work, but I had it on my main screen there. And I thought Missouri, like, if you didn't know who was who, and, you know, you would think Missouri was a top-10 team, too, based on that game. They looked athletic. They looked quick. They controlled part of the line of scrimmage on both sides for parts of the game there. Georgia's a little banged up there, so, you know, I think Auburn will be a – Auburn's good enough this week to get Georgia's attention. So I think we'll find out about this Georgia team. If they come out like they did the South Carolina game and they're up 21-0 the first quarter, you say, okay, maybe that was just a wake-up call. But if they struggle, especially at the line of scrimmage, you can say, hey, you know, they're probably still a great team, but pump the brakes on this. They're even better than last year talk.
We're talking with Mitch Light of The Athletic. Now, the big game this weekend, obviously, UT – LSU, it's weird that it's an 11 o'clock kickoff.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Stupid.
That game. Yeah, you're talking about two top 25 teams, one at 8 and the other at 25, and you're putting them on at 11 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, that it is what it is. Now, what
it's
type
a night
of,
game in Prague, guys. It's a night game.
Well, it's a night game for Willie. Absolutely. How do you expect this game to go? Because LSU, they lost the first game of the season. And then this previous game, it was a tight game versus Auburn. Tennessee has played well. I think they will be without Tillman again, but they got a lot of other pass catchers, but no one liked Tillman, so that would be a big blow for them. But how do you think this game will go?
Yeah, first on the TV part, you know, ESPN's always had the kind of an 11 o'clock game as being a pretty good SEC game. But I think a lot of that's also the reaction to the Big Noon Saturday on Fox. You know, Fox has 2-3 years ago, or maybe 4 years ago, moved its prime game to noon because that was kind of the window they thought they could, quote-unquote, steal. And it's worked. If you look at the ratings, some of the most heavily watched games in college football the past few years have been those Fox noon games, noon Eastern. So I think this is part of ESPN. Like, we saw the Ole Miss-Kentucky game last week at 11. I think not every week, but I think ESPN is going to start, has and looking to put maybe the second best game of the week after that CBS game in that 11 a.m. Central window instead of at night to kind of battle that noon game. But specifically to this game, I think this is a very good matchup for Tennessee because of the strengths and weaknesses of LSU. Like, you could look at it and say, okay, LSU on the road, that's a tough matchup, always is. Sure, the crowd, even 11, is going to be great there. But I think what Tennessee doesn't do well is not something that LSU does well. Like, Tennessee has struggled against the pass. And, you know, Florida was a team we didn't really think could throw the ball, and they threw it, 400 yards or whatever it was last week. LSU has not been good throwing the ball. They had like 200 against Florida State, like 200 against Mississippi State, and really struggled against Auburn. I think under 100 yards against Auburn. So I just don't see that LSU offense being able to keep up with the Tennessee offense. And you're not going to hold this Tennessee team to under – I don't think you're going to hold them to under 31 points. And I don't see LSU scoring that much. So I really think this is – you know, if you line up the talent on the rosters, maybe LSU, because it's LSU still has more overall talent. But I think Tennessee's a better team, and I think this is a favorable matchup for Tennessee.
Now, Alabama fans were holding their breath last week. And no one – they thought, you know, Bryce Young had tore – you know, a rotator cuff or something, and he would be out the season. Now, obviously, it isn't that way, but he will be out. But just say if he wasn't, if he had to be out an extended amount of time, how do you think Alabama reacts to that? Do you think they still would be contending for a national championship?
I think last year they were built more. For as great as Bryce Young was last year and won the Heisman Trophy, they had such good weapons on the outside that they did not need as good quarterback play. So I think, like, if they had the weapons on the outside this year that they did, that Jalen Milroe, the backup, or even Tyler Simpson, the freshman from Martin, Tennessee, could keep that offense humming. My concern for Alabama, if they are forced to go with Milroe the rest of the way, would be, do they have enough on the outside to help him? Could they win a lot of games? Sure. But when they got to the playoff, let's say, or if they got to the SEC championship game against Georgia, could they threaten you vertically enough? And I haven't seen enough of Milroe to know that. So I think it was kind of like stunned a little bit after the injury, and it showed with Arkansas coming back. But they kind of righted the ship, and Milroe's obviously a good player. He was committed to Texas at one point, I believe, and you know, they have faith in him. He's number two on the depth chart ahead of a five-star freshman. But you know, hopefully for Alabama, they won't have to answer that question long term. But I definitely think it would hurt them more this year because they don't have those weapons on the outside.
Willie,
Mitch, I got one for you. You know, Clark Lee tries to build something at Vanderbilt. You always look at programs that have been absolutely at the bottom that are doing some things. How is Kansas 5-0?
That's a great question. I mean, you know, Lance Leipold has done a great job, and I think you guys probably know this, the what-ifs of the world. You know, Lance Leipold was the number two choice at Vanderbilt. You know, they interviewed him at his home in Buffalo, I believe, and then chose Clark Lee the next day. Now, I don't care how good Lance Leipold is at Kansas, and I've followed his career since he came from, like, Wisconsin Whitewater. I think Clark Lee was the choice for Vanderbilt, you know, an alum, all that stuff. We don't need to revisit that. But he is a great coach, and he did, you know, won like five national championships in 8 years, Division III, turned a really bad Buffalo program around. They struck gold with the quarterback, who was, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, but he was an NTSU commit until signing day, and he flipped to Kansas, I think in the class of 2021, so he's a second-year player. His name escapes me now. We've written a lot about him at The Athletic, but he's very good. I mean, he's legit, dual threat, and they just you saw them getting better last year. And they just there's a belief there. I'd like to sit here and say, because, you know, I follow recruiting so closely, oh, they're one of these programs that's recruited well and they just need the right coach. No, they really haven't. I mean, their recruiting rankings have been horrible. They hit the portal heavily, but it's not like they were getting great guys there. It's just it's the right mix. The teams they beat, I'm not taking anything away from them, but West Virginia, not as good as we thought. Houston, clearly not as good as we thought. Then they won two home games against solid programs, but they're not exactly battling an upper-tier SEC gauntlet. So great accomplishment, but if you step back, I mean, it's great accomplishment because they've been so bad. If you step back, the teams they've beaten haven't been great. So, but it is no doubt a great story in college football.
Mitch, appreciate the time as always. Going to be another fun week of college football, and we'll work on that show open for you. So we'll hopefully
have
it done
soon. Yeah,
I'm around
if you need to bounce some ideas off of, so just let me know.
Absolutely. Mitch Light of The Athletic joining us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Coming up next, it's trivia time. We'll talk to Clark Lee at the bottom of the hour. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
All right. And now that Derek knows I'm 0-1 against Michigan State, can't use that as the trivia question for 0-1 on the mound against the Spartans. But let me tell you about Lee Company. They're a great sponsor of the Nashville Predators. And in fact, there are a few sponsors on our trip, and one of them, Jerry Vance, a guy that I've gotten to know. I got to play golf with him years ago, and our daughters played some soccer together. He is a great representative of Lee Company, and they're here to support the Predators. It's outstanding. Lee Company does some great work on a lot of different fronts, home maintenance, and, of course, their bread and butter. So let's start with that. We have our service through Lee Company at our house, our air conditioning, our heating system, and we get those annual checkups every year. That's part of their home maintenance plan. I think that's the way to go. We invest long-term. You have that small monthly fee, but you get the annual checkups for free, and then you get the discounts when repairs are needed over the long haul. You're going to need some repairs here and there. So that's the service, the preventive maintenance from Lee Company. Those checkups really are going to save you money over the long term. So Lee Company, they've been an outstanding operation. Give them a call, 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000, or go to LeeCompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators.